Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want you to get your Bible. We're getting ready to go into a message that we taught at our local church entitled Created Unto Good Works from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 down to verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We know that our good works didn't save us, but I want to focus on why we should do good works according to the scripture. Let's go into the message now, already in progress. God bless you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word of God. As we approach it now in humility. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to teach the word of God. More than anything, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that empower us to live the word of God. And Father God, I pray that the words that fall from my lips today be full of grace in the name of Jesus, the true grace of God, to bless the saints, Lord God, to be everything that this book says. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Clap your hands and praise the Lord one more time for me. Glory to God. I felt a little surge there. Amen. I don't know if anybody else felt it, but I felt a little surge there. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, the Bible said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. And I'm talking about created unto good works. I'm going to go on and read the next couple of verses. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now look, we've been ordained to walk in good works. We didn't work to get saved, because the Bible said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Amen. None of us was good enough to be saved or to get saved on our own. God prepared a plan of salvation and then had his Holy Spirit reach out to us. And he reached out, and at some point in our lives, we responded to his true grace, and we came into the plan of salvation. Had nothing to do with us, okay? So we got in by his unspeakable gift called grace, the true grace of God. Now that we're in it, and now that we're walking in it, that true grace of God teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. Anybody saying grace covers you in sin, or grace is so powerful that it keeps you when you're wrong? No, that's the perversion of grace. That the true grace of God teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's the true grace of God. A false grace make you think, look, you ain't do nothing to get it. You ain't got to do nothing to keep it. You could just live in it. That's a false grace. We want the true grace of God. And the true grace of God is really more of a person than it is a thing. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Grace. And he's a person that's there influencing you to do righteousness. That person never influences you to do wrong. So any teaching that leans towards, you know, just living in a kind of way and God's grace still covers you, now, man, that's the devil putting that in there. Amen. So don't you, saints, don't buy that. Amen. So thank God for his marvelous grace that brought us into this thing. And it wasn't by works. But now watch this. Now that we are in it, the Bible said now we have become God's workmanship. And we created unto good works. And we've been ordained to walk in good works. Amen. So God said, you didn't work to get it, but now when I finish with you, you're going to want to work now and do something. Amen. So we got to get salvation right and see it from the right perspective and not the wrong perspective. Now, after salvation, Philippians 2 verse 12 tell us that we need to work it out with fear and trembling. Work it out. What you mean work it out? It just said in Ephesians that I've become God's workmanship. Amen. Okay, if you want to know what a Christian is like, look at me. Every one of us should say that now. And I'm using my testimony, but every one of us that's truly saved, if you're truly saved, you should be able to say, look at me. Uh-huh. That's what, because see, God said, you're my trophy. See, I done created you unto good works. I want everybody in darkness now to see what I did with you and see what I did for you. But now if a Christian can't say, look at me, and when I say look at me, now I'm not talking about looking at your flesh. I'm talking about looking at what God has done for me. Look at what God has done. If you knew me several years ago and you know me now, you'd say, look at what the Lord has done. Every Christian ought to be able to say that. And if you can't say that, if you can't say that, something wrong with your Christianity now. Come on now. Something wrong with your Christianity. Something wrong with your believing now. That something ain't right on that picture. Somebody didn't put enough paint on one side of it. I'm just telling you the truth now. And we shouldn't let these religious devils fool us. Mm-mm, don't let religion fool you. If you're saved, then you know God. You're his workmanship, created unto good works. And somebody ought to be able to look at your life and say, something different with them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we need to make sure we understand salvation. And after you've been saved, there's a life now. And there's something about you, how you handle your problems, how you handle your situations. It's just something different about you. Amen. And do you not know these kind of Christians that I'm talking about and preaching about getting ready to rise now? Now come on now, because that's been a false impression of what a Christian is in the church. It's been a false impression of a Christian. But before Jesus come back, before the trumpet blow, they're going to stop laughing at the real church, because somebody going to see the real church in action before Jesus come. Glory to God. And I want to be one of those that said, look on us. That's what Peter said. Peter said, look on us, because he knew Christ had done a work inside of him. He said, just look on us. The man looked on him and got healed. Glory to God. And we're going to have more Christians like that, because we know that we are in submission to the Christ. I'm so in submission to him that I can just say, look on us. Look at, just watch how I go through this. And every one of us is going to be able to do that if you're going to follow him. Now, if you're going to follow religion and follow the norm and follow your pattern, the way you've been doing things, you won't be able to say that. Amen. But you got to be hungry and thirsty for this. Amen. This life. Glory to God. Okay. Now, I want to go to scriptures I used last week. 1 John chapter 3 and 10. Hallelujah. 1 John. Now, this scripture here is a defining scripture. It defines whether you are really a Christian or not. This verse right here defines it. 1 John 3 and verse 10. It says, in this, what are you getting ready to discuss? In this, the children of God are manifest. In other words, the true children of God is getting ready to be made known by this scripture. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Okay, the scripture just going to cut the cake right down the middle. Okay, these are the children of the devil. These are the children of God. Yeah. Now, you can go think what you want. The Bible just said, here's God's children, here's the devil's. Simple as that. Okay? All right. It says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not. Okay? So the children of the devil and the children of God is manifested in these two things: what you do and how you love. Those two things. You need to, true Christians have to walk in love. True Christians have to do something. And it's not unrighteousness. You live a life of righteousness. What righteousness is, the thing that is acceptable to God. I will not do nothing that's unacceptable to God. That's what a Christian is. Okay, now if we do things and you know it's unacceptable to God, it does not matter how many millions of times you say you believe in him or love him or know him. If you're doing unrighteousness, you are the Bible said at that time you're a child of the devil. You are not a child of God. Simple as that. That's the word. Okay? Now, 1 John 3 and verse 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let nobody fool you now. And don't fool yourself, is what he said. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In other words, if you don't do the things that he do, then you're not like him. That's really the interpretation, where the Bible is interpreting itself, you know, because I don't have to give an interpretation. The word is interpreting itself. So the things we do and the way we walk in love determines whether we're truly Christians from the Bible's point of view. Okay? Now, let's go, I'm going to just quote this one, Acts 10, verse 38. I quoted it last week, and I quote it again, 38 and 39. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. Okay? A lot of people say they got the Holy Ghost, but they're doing bad. Really? I wonder what Holy Ghost that is, because the Holy Ghost Jesus had caused him to go about doing good. He never did nothing bad. Now, the church going to have to repent and come to the place to where if Jesus never did nothing bad, guess what? I can live a life where I stop doing bad and never do bad again. You say, that's impossible. That's your little human mind. And as long as you stay thinking like that, you're going to stay right where you are. You got to change your thinking with God. I can live like him. I can walk like him. Whatever he did, I can do. Okay? Until we change our thinking, now we're gonna be little modern-day Christians. But if we're going to be biblical Christians, we're going to have to think like the early Christians thought. They thought like Christ so much and walked like him so much until the world was the one said, these are Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. Amen. You don't have to call yourself a Christian. So Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and went about doing good. Now, look at Titus. We are created unto good works. That's just some things we ought to do. That's some ways we ought to live. That's just the bottom line. Amen. Okay, Titus 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. I'm up here affirming this constantly. I'm hammering on it. I'm being adamant about it because the scripture is adamant about it. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. I'm supposed to constantly affirm this with my life, with my message, with everything I do. And I affirm it constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful. You got to make a strategic effort every day. I'm going to get up. I'm going to make a decision today that I'm going to keep my actions inside of the Holy Ghost, because I am more concerned about how God feel about that situation than how I feel. And so I'm going to be careful to maintain, let me just keep reading. Affirm constantly that they which have believed in God be careful that they maintain good works. I'm telling you, this is how I accomplish it. And the reason I use myself is because preachers are supposed to be the example. And this is how I accomplish it. Now, if you find another way and it's better, good. As long as you accomplish, come out with the same result. Okay, but this is how I accomplish it. I decide every single day of my life that I'm going to maintain doing good. Now, who can't choose that? Glory to God. Now, this is real Christianity. Christianity is a choice that I'm going to maintain good works in my life. Good works. Now, watch this. These things are good and profitable unto men. What make these things profitable? Because when mankind see a person who say they believe in God maintaining this kind of life, it lets that person know God is real. But do you know how many people that don't think God is real because of they watching folks who say they believe in God? Do you know how many people stumbling? Do you know how many people don't serve? Now, that's not really a good excuse not to serve God. You still can go to the same hell for not, you know, not serving God. But it's sad that people that say they believe in God don't live a life good enough to help that person believe in God. See, so these things, if I do what's right in my life, these things are profitable to men. It'll cause somebody else to serve God. It'll cause somebody else to go to heaven. But what I do may cause somebody else to go to hell. And again, it shouldn't be like that, but that's the way it is. And so since I know how I conduct myself every day with the things that I do is going to either put somebody on their feet or off their feet. And since I know that, then I am going to maintain a life of good works. It's a choice. It just shows that you got to make this decision. This thing is not just going to boom, there it is. It's not just going to happen. This is a choice that you make. When you find out that sin is a choice and righteousness is a choice, then you'll start believing I can live sin free. God, this life is not fixed to where sin just push you. No, that's a choice. And when folks wake up and realize sinning is a choice, then they'll start deciding, I am not going to sin. I'm not going to disappoint the Father. I am not going to have Christianity in my words only. Amen. Matthew 16:24. Oh, it's the truth. You know, we don't say it. And the Bible said, don't have no other gods before me. The greatest God in most people's lives is themselves. Matthew 16:24. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. See, all this whole message goes back to the prerequisite to following Jesus. Everybody say, I want to follow Jesus, but we tend to forget about the prerequisite to follow him. And it goes right back to this right here. It says again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Okay, you save, you know, good example of saving your life, okay? It's some things I'm going to reserve for myself, okay? Some things I'm going to handle, okay? That's reserving your life. And God said, now, if you reserve your life, you're going to lose your life. If you keep going through life, reserving your life, you reserve some things, you're going to handle it this way. This is just who I am. This is how I'm going to handle it. That's going to take you out of here. Because the scriptures say that if you save your life, you're going to lose it. Glory to God. This is the real Bible. Amen. We don't want to be reading them fake Bibles. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now, boy, I tell you, that's sober. That's a sobering thought right there. If I save my life, if I reserve my life, if I decide I ain't going to live like that. See, that's what it means to save your life. You can sit and hear this word and amen, amen, glory. Mm-hmm, that's God. But in your everyday life, you un-amen everything in your personal life, you know. But the Bible says that for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake. See, when I get up and decide, this about glorifying God. My life, for the rest of my life, is about glorifying God. See, it's just that you have to make that decision. And my life, for the rest of my life, is to glorify God. That's it. Amen. Okay? Now I done gave up my life and done took on the life of Christ. So he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I done lost my life for his sake because I've decided I'm not going to do my thing. I done lost my life on this side of the glory. I done lost it, but God said, I'm going to find it. So the way you find your life is you got to lose your life. And if you don't lose your life for his sake, you're going to lose it in the end. It's gone. That's how this gospel works. So what I'm preaching about, God made you, he saved you without works, but he made you his workmanship. And he said, I've ordained you to good works. I'm going to show you some scripture that if you don't, well, this is one scripture right here. If you don't live like this, it'll take you out of here. So where are these messages coming from in the church you can't see in your salvation away? I'm telling you, they're declaring that boldly now. And grace so powerful, you cover. You can't sin your salvation away. That ain't what this book say. This book say if you're going to keep preserving yourself, you're going to lose your life. That's what this book say. Okay? So, no, my works didn't get me in, but my works can take me out. What I do with this life after salvation can take me out of here. Okay? Now, that's one scripture right there when you really look at it, investigate it. Then he go on and say, now what do it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What are you after to reserve your life? Why are you reserving your life? What it is in this world you want? You mean you want just your own human emotions more than you want to live forever? What if you gain all your human emotions? What if you gain the victory over that person? What if you prove that you the boss? What if you prove that? Then what do it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What did it matter? Amen. It matters because what you're feeling right now is your reality. But it'll take you out of here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Here's what the apostle said. And I'm going to stick with what the apostle said. It says, wherefore we labor. We labor. We're working. We're doing what we do. You know, not only working the works of Christ with healing the sick, opening up the eyes of the blind, but we living for it. We keep ourselves under. We keep ourselves out the spotlight and make sure he's glorified in everything we do. So his labor is every single thing that he's doing, not just, you know, the works of Christ, but just the life of Christ. So when we talk about works, we talk about everything. God made you his workmanship and ordained you to good works. Now, why we don't do good? Okay. He said, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. This apostle right here giving you a sentiment in the gospel that saying God is not going to accept you if you're not doing well. If you don't live well and do what the Bible said, God's not going to accept you. But the general mindset in the body of Christ is grace going to cause God to accept you. No, it's not. That's not what the Bible teach. Okay, let's look at something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's the apostle talking again. And he said, now just follow me as I follow Christ. He said, all these bad examples out here, just follow me and you'll be safe. Okay, so I'm going to follow his example. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 22. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. In other words, he's talking about getting people saved. Okay? Because we know he's not talking about him saving the people himself. Because he was a representative of Christ. He preached the resurrection of Christ. And so he was talking about getting people saved. And he was saying, I do what it take for the sake of people. That's what he's saying right here. In other words, whatever it take, if I have to become weak, if I have to lower my pride, if I have to give up what I want, I do it for people. That's what he's saying, that I might get them saved. That's all he's talking about. Once I get to the place to where I care more about the salvation of the human race than I do my own personal feelings and my own personal thoughts, then I'm working Christianity. And if I don't do that, I'm not living a Christian life. Amen. Because Jesus lived this life. It was more about the people than it was about him. And then the Bible said, now let this mind, the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took everything that he encountered. He took it all for you. Okay? And then turn around and said, now you follow me in this. And so if you so caught up in your everyday life that you cannot do this and will not do this, then you're not a Christian, according to this book. You're not a Bible believer. Now look at verse 23. This is the apostle's thinking. I don't know how the church get the mindset they have. I don't know where they get their mindset from. But we better go back to the mindset of this apostle that said, follow me as I follow Christ. Here's his mindset. Verse 23. So he said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be what? That I might be partaker with them. Do you know what Paul just said? Paul just said, I become all things to all men that I may save some, that I may get them saved. He just turned around in this verse and said, I do all of this for the gospel's sake, so I might be partaker of salvation. The apostle's mindset is, I can lose it. The apostle's mindset right here is, I got saved. It wasn't because of my good works, because I was killing everybody, and God saved me. I'm saved by grace through faith, through faith, through grace. It wasn't by my works that I came into this thing, but the apostle is thinking now, my works can take me out of this thing. That's what the man just said. He said, I want to be partaker of the same salvation I'm bringing everybody else in. Now I'm going to skip down. The last verse of the Bible confirms it. Of this book. But I keep under my body. I keep my body in check. I keep my emotions in check. I can't do nothing that's going to embarrass him. So he said, I keep under my body. I keep under my emotions. And if I got to seek the Holy Ghost for his comfort and power to help me, I'm going to do what I have to do. And he said, I bring it into subjection. Least by any means when I have preached to others. I done got all these other folks saved. I done brought them in. I lose my soul. That's what that man talking about. That apostle knew that he could lose his soul behind not working out his salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it's all over the Bible, it's all over the Bible. You didn't work to get it, but your works will take you out of here if you don't act right. Amen. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have to cut into the broadcast. We're just about out of time, but I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you would like to have a free copy of the message, you can get in touch with us by calling 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. We will be more than happy to sow this message in your life. If you want to go to our webpage to get other teachings from the Word of God absolutely free, go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. If you'd like to send us a note on the email, you can do so at the letters scmcci@hotmail.com. That's scmcci@hotmail.com. The number again is 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying, we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus. His name.